Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we are studying from Roland Springs Baptist Church. And our study is in 1 Corinthians, and our lesson today is lesson number 6. And this lesson is on chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. And it's about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. So we will begin our lesson today in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will give us the wisdom and the knowledge through the Holy Spirit to understand your word, your truths. Speak to each of our hearts and teach us, Father, the things that you would have us to know and understand in your word. We thank you and praise you, Father, for this opportunity, and we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Now, to begin our lesson today, we know that it was written, the book of Corinthians, by Paul to the saints or those in the church there at Corinth. And we want to look at why that Paul wrote this letter. So the book of 1 Corinthians is really divided into two segments. And the first segment was about the divisions there of the Corinthians, and that they were boasting in men and not in God, and they were not judging the immorality in the church. That was in the first 6 chapters. That was the first segment. And then the second segment was chapter 7 through 16. And there we see that Paul responded to some things about the Corinthian saints that he wrote to them. Now, we're going today to chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, and this chapter is about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. So, we'll begin with the first 7 verses, and I'll read these. It's about the principles of marriage. Verse 1, now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. And let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to the husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment, for I wish that all men were even as myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. Now, what do we see in these verses that it teaches us about marriage? We see that first, the husband and wife have control over their mate's body. And the context is sexual relations in marriage. And the command is to stop depriving one another of sexuality, so that the mate is not tempted to commit adultery. And the only exception concession, not command, is a period of time for prayer. And then Paul said he would like for all to be as he was. And that is saying that he was not married. But all are not in the same condition as Paul. But all have their gift from God, either single or married. So, we have to look now at this in our own marriages and listen to what God's Word has to say to us in these verses. Now let's look at verses 8 and 9. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain, even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Now, who do we see is addressed in these verses? It's about the unmarried and the widows. The unmarried is probably referring to the divorced because virgins are addressed separately in this study in verse 25. So it's good for them, unmarried and the widows, to remain single as Paul. But if they don't have self-control regarding immorality, then the scripture is saying that they should marry. Now let's look at verses 10 and 11. Now, to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. Now, who do these verses address, and what are they told? This is to the married, and in this context, it seems to be addressing married believers. Paul said that the Lord gave instructions about this, and we know that in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus himself taught about the subject of marriage. The wife should not leave her husband, but if she does, then she must remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. So let's look further now at verses 12 through 16. And who are these verses addressing? Okay, let me read 12 through 16. But to the rest, not the Lord, say, if any brother or wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Now, the rest is the ones that he is addressing here. A brother believer married to an unbelieving wife, and a sister believer married to an unbelieving husband. So, What is he saying then in verses 10 through 12? Verse 10 is the Lord's instruction. Jesus gave instructions about this. And verse 12 is instruction from Paul. Jesus didn't mention this situation, but Paul is the one that gave instructions. What instructions did he give? He says that if an unbeliever consents to live with a believing spouse, then the believer is not to divorce or send away the unbelieving husband or wife. Why? According to verse 14, if an unbeliever is content to stay married to a believer, then the unbeliever is very close to a saint. And we studied that in the first chapter and second verse of our study. He or she is exposed to the things of God, or shown what the holy life is, what's right and what is evil. And the unbeliever is in constant relationship with one who is sacred to God or set apart to Him. And their children are also exposed to holiness by the saint in the marriage. So what is the instruction if the unbeliever leaves? The believer is not under bondage in such cases. The believer is free. So let the unbeliever leave in peace and not conflict. Now, what question is presented to the believer in verse 16? How do you know whether you will lead your unbelieving spouse to be saved or not? The answer is that the believer doesn't know. Only the Lord knows the answer. So this is a teaching of marriage of a believer to an unbeliever, or an unbeliever to a believer. Now then, let's go on to verses 17 through 24. And I'll read these. 17, but as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while let him not be circumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised, let him be circumcised. Verse 19, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. So, what is the main point of these verses? Look at both verses 20 and 24. These verses say to remain in the condition in which one was called. The context is primarily married or divorced. And each person is to walk or live as the Lord has assigned to him married or not. Believers need to learn how to live godly in whatever circumstances they are. So when we look at this, we have to ask the question, how do these truths relate to believers today? And we have to look at our own lives as we look at what God's Word is teaching. Now, the next questions or the next lesson that we see is written to the unmarried and the widows, verses 25 through 35. And I'll read these for us. Now, concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do you seek to be loosed? Are you loosed from a wife? Do you seek a wife? But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. Verse 29, but this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on even those who have wives should be as though they had none, those who weep as though they did not weep, those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, and those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use this world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away, but I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Now, these verses, we see what changes these verses. Now, concerning virgins, the betrothed, it's good to remain unmarried if a person is a virgin. Why? Why did he say this? Because there was present distress, and it was to be free from discern or anxiety. It was concern about anxiety about how to please the Lord and not a spouse. And it was concern and anxiety about how to be holy, to promote what is appropriate, undistracted, undivided devotion to the Lord. Paul didn't write this to put a restraint on believers, but to show them that unmarried believers are more able to have undistracted devotion to the Lord than those that are married. According to verse 28, if a virgin married, he or she has not sinned, and they will have trouble. And Paul was trying to spare them by telling them to remain unmarried. And he describes that in verses 29 through 35. So what else do we see, or who else do we see, in verses 27 and 28? And what does the text say to them? Let me read those quickly again. 27 and 28. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on even those who have wives should be as though they have none. He's saying, don't seek to be released from that obligation of marriage. And those that are released or divorced or widowed, don't seek a wife and don't look to be married again. But if you do marry again, then you have not sinned. Now let's go on with verses 34 through 35. There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. This is verse 34. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. Now, he is saying that if you are a virgin and you haven't married, then your concern is more to please the Lord than if you married. You are obligated to please the husband. Now then, let's read 36 through 38, verses 36 through 8. But if any man thinks he is behaving improperly toward his virgin, if she is past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let them marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then, he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. So who and what are these verses about? Here we see that it's talking about a man and a virgin daughter. And the culture at that time, the father was responsible for his daughter's marriage. And if her father let her marry, he does not sin and he does well. But if he decides to allow his daughter to remain single, then he does better. And this is the same principle in verses 17 through 35. So if he married her or didn't marry her, it was acceptable, and he needed to be firmly established in his heart. So this is speaking of who would marry the virgin daughter. Now let's complete our study today with verses 39 and 40. Verse 39, a wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But if she is happier, if she remains as she is, according to my judgment, and I think I also have the Spirit of God. So who and what is the subject in these verses? A wife is bound as long as she lives. If she dies, she's free to marry again in the Lord. However, she would be happier, in Paul's opinion, if she stayed single. And again, Paul's opinion is that marriage divides the interest, and singleness allows undistracted devotion to the Lord. And then Paul's opinion again is based on the Holy Spirit with him giving advice to believers. So Based on this study, is divorce and marriage ever allowed? A believer is not to divorce a believing spouse. If the believer does, then she or he are to remain unmarried or to be reconciled. If an unbeliever leaves or divorces a believing spouse, believer is not under bondage. And according to this scripture, it means that he or she can remarry. So if one was saved after a divorce and then remarries, that one has not sinned. And this compares to verses 8 and 9. If a mate dies, then the spouse is free to marry again. So, in looking at what we have studied today, how does this teaching fit our society of thinking today? And what about sex outside of marriage? How does that fit into God's Word? And we know that His Word teaches that it's an abomination to God. Now, I want to read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, as a cross-reference. The writer of Hebrews says in verse 4 of chapter 13, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So that's exactly what God's Word is teaching us, that it is honorable among all that are married. But for fornicators, those that are not married, and adulterers, God will judge. So that is the completion of our study today. And I pray that God will open our minds and our hearts and give us wisdom and knowledge to understand His truths, that we may live our lives to please Him. Let us pray. Father, we want to please You. We want to do Your will. We don't understand everything, but You make it plain in Your Word exactly how we're to live our lives. And Father, we know that there is nothing that You don't forgive us from when we come before You and ask for forgiveness. And sometimes things come in our lives that are hard to understand, and things happen that are out of our control. But we know that You're in control and that You work all things together for good. And I just pray that each of us will look at Your Word, study Your Word, and live according to Your Word as best we can. But we know that we're not perfect beings, that we all sin and fall short of Your will, Father, but we pray for guidance. And that's what Your Word is for, is to guide us, lead us, and direct us, Father, that we may live our lives to please You and bring You honor and glory. And I ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.